Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 14th day of November, 2020. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and I hope you'll find this to be a very interesting show this evening. I'm going to take a more in-depth look at how do you literally destroy an entire nation and take it over without too many shots, so far at least, having been fired. All it takes is a massive conspiracy to undermine the rule of law and rig an election. What's really interesting, though, over the last few days is just how much information about that rigging has come out and how badly it's being ignored by the waste stream and why. And that's what we're going to talk about. And let's start with some of the easy and obvious stuff. Speaking with Lou Dobbs on Fox Business News, one of President Trump's personal lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, alleged on November 11th that roughly 650,000 unlawful ballots were cast in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And furthermore, he claimed that almost none of those hundreds of thousands of ballots were observed by Republican poll watchers, even though, hey, trivial little thing, state election law requires the presence of poll watchers from all parties. So much for even the appearance of transparency or lawful process. After saying the counting process clearly broke the law, Giuliani said,
"We now are up to a count of about 650,000 ballots that are unlawful ballots that were cast in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. No doubt about the fact they're unlawful. The law set by the state legislature that under the Constitution gets to govern presidential elections was that every ballot had to be observed by a Republican and a Democrat. Well, none got observed by a Republican."
And the same pattern repeated in the other so-called swing states.
"I have a whole group more lawsuits to bring like that. We brought another one late last night. I guess maybe it didn't get as much attention. In some ways, it's bigger than Pennsylvania. It's the one in Michigan. The one in Michigan, the same thing, about 320,000. However, the one in Michigan has some very, very interesting witnesses. One witness is an employee of the city, a Democrat, who became so incensed and upset with what she called massive cheating that she decided she would give an affidavit. They started training her in September. She said they started training her to cheat. They taught her how to eliminate signatures that didn't look good, how to file ballots even if they didn't have signatures, how to find places to get people who aren't registered by going to the registration book, finding a person who hadn't registered in a long time, or putting in a new name."
And he goes on to describe at some length the kinds of things that were being done in so many places, but at least there are now a few people beginning to come forward. Evidently, their consciences were seared by some of the incredible criminality they saw and realized they were participating in. No doubt some of them are realizing they're very much at risk, too. This follows on the heels of Giuliani having told Maria Bartiromo on Sunday that they're now able to show as many as 900,000 invalid ballots were cast in the battleground state of Pennsylvania alone. Fox host Tucker Carlson is nibbling at the edges of the fraud. In his show on Wednesday evening, he talked about the dead people that continue to come forth and proudly proclaim they voted, saying, quote, "What we're about to tell you is accurate. It's not a theory. It happened, and we can prove it. Other news organizations could prove it, too. They've simply chosen not to." He goes on to tell some cute stories about people like a woman named Deborah Jean Christensen. "It's hard to find anybody who's got a bad word to say about Deborah Jean Christensen," he continues. "She was well known in her community for years, a bird watcher, avid gardener, blah-de-blah-de-blah. Those who knew her were sad when she died last May. And even after her death, some would be surprised to know that she still managed to register to vote and cast a ballot, presumably for Joe Biden. It's an inspiring story in a certain way, a triumph of voting over death. And maybe no one quite embodies that story like James Blaylock of Covington, Georgia, who was a mailman for 33 years before he, too, passed away in 2006. But 14 years later, according to state records, he was still mailing things, like a ballot in last week's election. Maybe he was just extraordinary," suggests Tucker, no doubt a bit tongue-in-cheek. "Neither rain nor snow nor gloom of night nor even death itself could keep him from mailing in a ballot for senile, almost as old as some of his voters, quid pro Joe Biden." Which leads me to an observation. Maybe Joe Biden is America's first truly dead president. He was elected by the dead, for the dead, and those soon to be. whether there were enough dead votes to actually alter the outcome. And there were a lot more of them, folks, than you might have believed. The point is this, suggests Tucker Carlson. They're dead, but they voted anyway. How'd they do that? How exactly did they manage? The short answer is by mail, because dead people, like any other group, tend to vote more often when you make it easier for them to do so. And this year, we made it a whole lot easier for dead people to vote. The effect, of course, was to encourage fraud. And that, says your host, was the intention, but only part of it. Because that alone is just the tip of the iceberg, and that's where I really want to go today. More and more people nationwide are taking a very in-depth look at the raw voting data dumps from around the nation. Because it appears, says a summary from Mike Adams at Natural News, that hundreds of thousands of votes, at a minimum, were switched from Trump to Biden via the software control systems of various voting machines. And this was done in real time during election night, which also helps explain why election counting was slowed in the swing states, or at least allegedly stopped entirely, but not really, in order to allow the election theft to be coordinated and executed in the wee hours of the morning. A site called thedonald.win, carried out by a user who identifies only as Centipede, explains a script he wrote to detail all the instances of votes being lost or switched from Trump to Biden using the New York Times raw data dump by a link that they give, which of course is subject to being pulled real soon now by the New York Times. The author claims that the data is from Edison Research, and it's the same data used for election coverage by at least ABC News, CBS News, CNN, and NBC News, as well as the New York Times website, and probably others. Like a flight data recorder, it can be difficult to understand exactly what's going on there, but it provides a wealth of information for those willing to pore into the details. From there, I want to try to put together a number of pieces that I've been laying out over the last week or so. And, of course, while it looks like simple, well, massive voter fraud, it goes far deeper than that. Yes, it's about undermining the American people's faith in not only their elections, but literally everything else. Because if your representatives aren't really representatives, in fact, they're crooks, and they weren't supposed to be elected to office anyway, but there they are, doing things that are a violation of their oaths, hey, surprise, everything that follows is now undermined as well. If you knew for a fact that the Congress was illegitimate and just how bad it truly was, what does that say about the laws that they've been passing? Now, don't forget, folks, some of us would say, if you read the Constitution, that would have been obvious a long time ago, but still, here we are. And what I want to try to make as clear as I possibly can, given that I've been talking about this literally for years now, is that this is not new. It's just gotten to the point where there's no hiding it anymore, even from the crooked, lying press, and even from the idiots that have been turning their backs to it for so long. In that respect, it's a lot like gangrene. There comes a point at which you say, maybe we better do something about that. Like cut off the foot before it takes the leg and then kills us outright. And what I really need to do is outline the fact that this isn't just a single-pronged attack. In other words, it's not just dead people voting. It's not just millions of illegals voting. It's not just people that have changed their name because perhaps they got married or divorced or moved to other states, but their votes are still being harvested. And it's not even just merely a bunch of crooks in machine-run cities like Philadelphia, Detroit, and Minneapolis that are forging ballots and running repeated stacks of them multiple times through the counting machines. It's all of the above. But beyond that, it's a national, systemic attempt to completely undermine the country. And yes, folks, it also has to do with the Bolshevik Revolution, and in no small part to a communist Chinese incursion. And yes, they own the guy that they want to stuff into the Oval Office, too, at least until it's obvious that he's beyond senile, in which case they've got an even worse one on tap. But it didn't just start at this election, or even with the COVID-19 booga-booga-booga flu lead-up that enabled them to put the massive ballot fraud in place. How convenient. How brilliant. But the key to this whole thing is electronic voter fraud. And we have to start there because that, when it comes to ballot rigging, is the foundation upon which the rest is built. I've talked for years about the Soros influence and the Diebold voting machines, but it turns out this year we're hearing another name, Dominion Voting Systems. Yeah, they have some other subsidiaries like ESS that are used to hide just how widespread their particular brand of corruption is. 30 states in total now, and all of the so-called swing states. I've mentioned for years as well things that I learned while doing software design and being a lead on software development programs. Things like how do you do software quality assurance, test efficiently, reuse code so that you're not constantly reinventing the wheel, and so forth. That's important for development programs where the idea is to turn a product around, do it efficiently and reliably. And when you're dealing with thousands of lines of code, or now millions of lines of code, how can you possibly understand all that's really going on in there? The products I worked on for a number of years were storage systems. Things like tape drives, optical disk drives, and later disk arrays. And the idea was to make sure that you could store the data reliably and get it back with as close to 100.000000, etc. percent reliability as the state of the art would allow. And yes, even then and even in those systems, it didn't escape our attention that there might be bad actors looking to deliberately destroy data or corrupt it. The point is, people have studied these problems for years, especially with large software development programs. Like, how do you oversee somebody else's work? How do you do code reviews? How do you make sure that what's going out is as bug-free as you can make it? And this one's kind of interesting. How do you make sure it meets the buyer's specifications? Although I suggest that some of those specs, folks, you're not being made privy to. We're seeing in real time, though, as long as you don't get your news from CNN or now Fox, just how important those hidden features can turn out to be. Arguably, it's also true that if you intend to produce a corrupt piece of software, it's really hard to hide it from those who are managing the system and should know what's going on. Which means that on the other hand, though, it's also true that the art of building in backdoors and hiding them has pretty much become the stuff of legend. What really grates on your host at this point is all the blithering idiot talking heads I see on places like CNN, MSNBC, NPR, and fill in three letters, so-called news agencies, that really, truly can't be quite as stupid as they claim to be. In other words, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I really think they know they're lying when they say asinine things like there's no possibility of systemic voter fraud. Because an honest reporter on that beat at least ought to know something about how code is designed and developed. Case in point, I've said for a long time that if you see floating point mathematics being used in vote counting machines, it's literally designed for fraud. Here's an easy one. Let me back up a second and tell people, hey, there are multiple kinds of numbers in the world. The two easiest ones to understand are what are called integers, whole numbers like 1, 2, 3, and 375, and also 2,695,413. Those are all integers. There's no fractional part to them because a vote is either a vote or it's a fraud. On the other hand, there are such things as floating point numbers, $27.43, 2.817, and so on, numbers that have a decimal point, a fractional part. But the point is, if you understand at least those two things, there's a difference between a floating point number, which has a fractional part, and an integer, you're way ahead of being able to understand one of the most massive fraud operations in history. If you see floating point math ever being used in voting machines, you ought to be saying to yourself, what the hell is going on here? And I mean that literally. Because the only real reason for floating point math in a voting machine is to rig things. You see, we need to shift a fractional part of the vote from, say, Trump to Biden. And out of every 10,000 votes, we'll shift maybe 3%, or some number that's small enough that we think we can get away with it, and certainly not big enough to attract too much attention, as long as the election we're trying to overturn isn't too much of a landslide. And therein lies the rub, and the problem, especially this year. Turns out it was a problem in 2016, too, and that's why mail-in ballot fraud is an important part of Plan B. So let's start to put the pieces together here. And by the way, this is the one thing you can guarantee the waste stream is never going to want to see happen. It's also part of the reason why I think we might see admissions of, yeah, a few dead people voted, and a few of the voter rolls weren't properly cleansed before the election, and yeah, there was limited mail-in ballot fraud. But one thing you're not going to hear, if they have anything to say about it, is systemic, built-into-the-system electronic voter fraud that goes way back and way deep. Because that would really destroy all their beautiful wickedness. So let me lay out what I think has really been going on for quite a while. We have push polling, which is intended to distort the picture that the electorate sees. In other words, they don't know just how badly they're being lied to, but it does prep them for the massive voter fraud that's coming. Oh, Biden is up big time. He's going to win. We've heard it all. Matter of fact, if you're not on the politically correct team, you nasty racist you, you better just stay home and not vote at all. Probably safer for you besides. But you know what? Behind the scenes, they're actually doing a little bit of real polling. After all, it's not that hard. And finding out, there's an undercurrent here. There's a whole lot of people that are really PO'd. They've had it with the leftists. They're going to vote for Trump. It was obvious in the rallies and degree of public enthusiasm. They have a problem. Even among minorities, people that haven't been Republican voters in the past, there's a tide and it's turning. And we're going to have to crank up those numbers in the electronic vote rigging machines as far as we dare in order to counteract that. Not to 3%, maybe even to as high as 10%. And because we have good data, we know in which precincts we need to do it, which ones we can get away with. Some of them we can go to 100%, of course, because we know that the right people are in charge of the counting there and we don't have to worry about it. In the safe Trump districts, on the other hand, where the guy might win by 80% this year in a whopping landslide, well, we can crank that down to 70%, and it still looks like they definitely went for Trump, and the tweaking isn't nearly so suspicious. But it sure does help us with the statewide totals and the electoral votes now, doesn't it? But in general, folks, the idea is you manipulate the numbers in advance on the voting machines, and that way you make sure that the Biden vote, along with all the other people on the ballot, comes in significantly higher than it really is. Oh, and maybe we can shove through a few extra representatives and even senators along the way. That's our base upon which we build. It's tried and true and well-tested, and they've been getting away with it. But it turns out this year it wasn't enough because the landslide, you see, was even bigger than they knew they could get away with. If you start changing a full 10% from column T to column B, it stinks so badly that even the leftists at CNN start saying, whoa, this is over the top. Why, if I know it's such a great big whopping lie, I can't even swallow it. That makes it that much harder to sell to my gullible viewers. So they pushed it electronically just as far up front as they dared. And as the election drew near and the laptop came out, they realized, uh-oh, we've got a real problem here. Good thing we have those 80 million or so fake ballots ready to go, and we're going to need as many as we possibly think we can get away with. And here's the beautiful part about how Plan B works. You see, we don't have to rig all of the ballots. Looks like the electronic rigging isn't enough this year to bring home our blue wave. So we go for the fallback position, because after all, it's this or prison. We just have to pick 270 electoral vote states that we know we can get away with. Well, California, New York, and some of the places where we've got our team well entrenched, we can already put in our column. Nobody's going to pay much attention there. And we'll still go ahead and rig the races for a few senators, maybe. I'm thinking Chicken Pooper in Colorado particularly. And a few Congress critters. Otherwise, folks, I'll suggest it's just possible the Republicans would have taken more in the Senate and might well have taken the House. But we'll see if we ever even get that far. We've got to survive the immediate coup first. As the evening progressed, then, it became obvious that California and New York and the other communist states just aren't quite going to be enough. So what do they have to do next? Well, when it's becoming obvious that Trump really is pulling away in a landslide, we pull out the stops. We literally shut down the counts. We bring our people in. We put up the cardboard barriers so that nobody can see what's going on behind closed doors. And we start moving those millions of ballots out of the pre-sequestered locations, putting them in the unmarked vans and pizza delivery vehicles, and we bring them on in the back door. And we need to get rid of a whole bunch of poll watchers, too. Hey, what's worse, losing the election and going to jail, or knowing that our friends in the media are going to have to do a bigger cover job for us than usual? But here's the problem. How many ballots do we need to bring in? If we bring in too many, well, that risks exposing the fraud as well. We have to do it just right.
But that's not what's worrying me. It's how to do it. These things must be done delicately, or you hurt the staff.
And that's where some of those wonderful CIA programs that they've absconded come in handy, like Operation Hammer and Project Sickle, or is it Scorecard? Yeah, you see, we can track exactly how many votes have come in for the team we don't want to win, and therefore, we know how many we have to swap, how many we have to get rid of entirely, and how many we have to manufacture. Aren't we clever? And if we've got our floating point math right, we can do the numbers, we can distribute all of that fraud across, say, a million votes or so, and make it appear like it's not quite as obvious. Oops, wait a minute. No, this year it was even worse than that. They just had to plain bring in hundreds of thousands of openly bogus ballots in multiple states. Yeah, it's a good thing we have CNN on our team. not to mention Fox and the whole stinking rest of the Ministry of Truth. And again, let me make this just as clear as I can. Bogus mail-in ballots are really just the icing on the cake, the final fallback in case the real bedrock, the electronic vote rigging, just isn't enough. And except for that problem back in 2016, it has been. For several voting cycles now, I have contended, and still do, that the 2018 midterms were absolutely rigged, and that the Democrat/Communist takeover of the House, especially in certain districts in California and the South, which looked one way on election night and then changed over the next few days, does that sound familiar? Was a transparent fraud. It's just that then as now, the Waystream Press didn't want you to know about it.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh,
pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
And if you think about it, it makes great sense if you intend to build on that success and do an even bigger job of pulling the wool over the American people come 2 years later in 2020. So the point I'm working up here is that this is a multi-pronged attack. The most insidious and indeed the biggest part of this iceberg has to do with the companies like Dominion Voting Systems that have been surreptitiously shifting, changing, multiplying, dividing, subtracting, and adding votes for a long time, but doing so very cleverly so that most people don't know exactly what's being done to them. And, of course, if you do a good enough job of manufacturing the votes, changing the votes, and manipulating the votes, and the machine itself is the only record, you can cover your tracks pretty well, too. That, folks, is why statistical analysis, being able to look at the masses of numbers and see what looks really fishy, is a big part of uncovering the fraud. Oh, and therein lies part of the rub as well, because, you see, it's difficult to prove things in a court of law based on statistics, especially when the entire deep state fraud operation is pushing really, really hard for a rush to judgment and do it now before we have a chance to even look at any of the data. That way, once it's done, well, then it's too late, and we can purge the innocent, finish covering our tracks and locking down the judicial system, so if they can get away with it this time, there'll never be any other real challenges again. But back then to the issue of statistics and how it is that most Americans have been so dumbed down, they don't have a clue when they're being lied to. Witness the issue of masks and the booga 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 virus and all the claims that have evolved into cases rather than actual deaths or hospitalizations. In a twisted sort of way, though, doesn't it make perfect sense that if you can get people dumbed down enough that they'll actually wear a mask and think that's going to do something besides destroying their own immune system, they'll certainly buy off on a rigged election? Think of it this way, folks. You can actually go out and get a $20 pulse oximeter at Walmart, well, while you still can anyway, and measure your own blood oxygen content and see what happens when you cover your mouth and nose and rebreathe your own exhaust fumes for a while. It's patently obvious. How much more difficult is it then for the average American to realize that, well, wait a minute, how do I even know my vote was counted? Or just as likely wasn't changed to something I foolishly thought I was voting against? Or, and here's the bigger issue, it now seems likely that there were probably 100,000 votes that had nothing to do with what I wanted one way or another that swamped the system and made whether or not my vote was counted immaterial. Most of that action, as it turns out, was done electronically before anybody ever had any chance to count anything physically. And those who did it have done their software engineering best to cover their tracks, leaving statistics, lots and lots of statistics, and relationships between numbers that simply don't add up as the best way to catch them. But that's hard, as we've already talked about, for several reasons. A, because a lot of judges, and certainly most juries, are picked for their ignorance. They don't know squat about math, or they would have chosen a different line of work. And B, there are a whole lot of charlatans in the field. Just like in government-controlled medicine, where people are used to being lied to with statistics. Mark Twain had it partially right on that score. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. But it all has to do with the fact that people simply aren't able to discern when they're being lied to. And yeah, if it sounds like I'm a bit cynical, folks, you're going to see why as we go through this. But as we start that process, ask yourself this question. If Big Brother and the big banksters have been able to print money without limit for a century or more now, to the tune of not just billions now, but trillions of bucks, do you think printing a few 100,000 or even a few million votes presents that much more of a challenge? Especially if it allows you to keep on doing what you've already been getting away with. We'll talk about where that leads us after the bottom of the hour break.
America's counting on you. I'd rather die on
Welcome back again now to the second segment of the show for this evening. This is again your host, Mark Call. And in the first half of the show, I was talking about essentially different types of voter fraud and how we shouldn't be confused about exactly the bigger picture of what's going on here. And let me just kind of tip my hand and say, hey, if it's not obvious, where I'm headed is the following. If you haven't come out yet of those major leftist cesspools where things are going to continue to get even uglier, now's the time. Obviously, a whole lot of things have already come to a head, hit the fan, pick your metaphor. But I want to get back to this idea of systemic long-term e-voter fraud and how that undermines the system. Call it close enough for government work was the bedrock upon which the rest of the fraud was built. Then we had the mail-in voter fraud that was added to that, and a lot of people are simply lumping all those things together and not seeing the bigger picture here. Now, that's where I want to start this segment off, because here's part of the equation. We've watched over the last few years as what was once a constitutionally oriented so-called Democrat Party has become openly communist. They have the nutcases, the occasional Cortex, and so forth, that aren't even paying lip service anymore to the rule of law or the Constitution. They're clearly anti-free speech. They're anti-Bill of Rights all the way up and down the line, and they're just plain anti-Constitution in general. The gloves are off. Some have awakened, but literally, at this point, the left is even divided against itself. And then you add to that the latest set of frauds, the COVID-1984 setup, the mask idiocy, and now the mail-in ballot fraud that was built on that foundation. Here's where we are. The fraud is literally right now in your face. And you got to consider the effects. Are we going to see the long-awaited and long-planned by the left Bolshevik Revolution Civil War 2.0? Been talking about that for a long time. Certainly, the rule of law has been undermined. A lot of conservatives, people that believed that, my grandfather, my dad, my son even, fought and died for a constitution, have been demoralized. No doubt about it, the entire structure of the concept of an honest election has been done away with. Anybody that's paying attention realizes it is rigged. Now, the left is going to believe that it was rigged because, hey, we didn't get every ballot counted, even if they haven't realized how many tens of millions were totally fraudulent. But maybe that doesn't matter because, you know, the ends justify the means. Now, here's the point where I'm headed to first off this segment. Merely reversing the so-called swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, is not enough. And I'll come back to some other opinions on that in a minute here. But basically, if Big Brother is able to say, okay, well, we have to back off and let Trump stay in office. Biden is a criminal. He was the communist Chinese toy. They didn't get him in like they anticipated. But not to worry. We can still work within the system. If they are able to do that, back off, and yet still we don't see massive arrests. We don't see the numbers of people put in prison for attempting to destroy the formerly free United States with outright treason. If we don't see Dominion voting systems and ESS and other related subsidiaries, Diebold voting machines, in other words, if we don't see the entire e-fraud thing exposed and tossed out, folks, Big Brother continues to maintain its grip on power. And furthermore, if we don't see two Facebook and Twitter and Gulag and NBC, ABC, CBS, now Faux News, CNN, and the rest of them exposed for the traitors they are by pushing this fraud and simply refusing to admit, we had a big deal when it was Russia, 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 but now that it's China, 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 nothing to see here, move along. Folks, if all of this isn't exposed, Americans will be able to say, hey, look, the fix is still in. And that's the key. That's the real point. Now, as we went to break, I was talking about just some other aspects of being able to see through the deception here. I'll mention one or two more. There are all kinds of specific statistical demonstrations of just how crooked what's been going on is. Most of them will point to the part two, the mail-in ballots and some of the vote swaps that occurred after the shutdown, late Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, when the left realized, this isn't working out. The fraud isn't big enough to overcome the Trump landslide here, and we're not even picking up Senator House seats. So they pulled out the stops. On the other hand, the e-voting fraud was already in place. And I believe and contend that that fraud is so systemic that a number of places, Colorado, for example, where I see things firsthand, was probably a lot more along the Trump lines than we've been led to believe. But if the e-voting fraud stays in place, those countries, those states are almost gone. Okay, so back to specific statistical characteristics that we can look at least to recognize part of the problem here. One has to do with distributions. Now, anybody that's had statistics or my background in electronic engineering, we looked at all kinds of distributions and used various types of statistical distributions for modeling and so forth. The standard one is called the normal distribution or the Gaussian distribution. You've seen that the bell curve. And a lot of things, most things in nature follow that pattern, not all, and that's what's interesting. But what you see on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning of the election is a pattern of distribution of votes that can be applied to a regression analysis. But whoops, somewhere around 3 in the morning, when the voting was stopped and the fraud was exposed, all of a sudden the distribution goes completely off the charts. Well, it becomes completely improbable. As a matter of fact, fake. And if you look at some graphs and have any understanding of statistics, it literally leaps off the page at you. That's just one of many ways of realizing what was done and how literally transparent in your face it was. Almost like at this point, they don't care to hide it anymore. And I'm going to contend that plays into this idea of demoralizing people, destroying their faith in the system, especially if they're able to get away with it, and we don't see a whole lot of people in orange jumpsuits. Now, that leads me to another story. I'm going to go through this fairly rapidly, but I think it's a brilliant piece. It comes from Wayne Allen Root, and if you don't know the name, he is a now syndicated conservative talk show host, former, well, actually, I guess still current, Las Vegas odds maker and sports gaming expert for 4 decades. This guy knows about betting. And that's kind of an interesting perspective that he brings, because it's another way of looking at the statistics and the way people respond to it. Essentially, it's a gut feel for the fact that the fix is in. And he does a brilliant job of laying it out from a whole different perspective. His background, in other words, very different than mine. He says, I understand odds and gambling in a way no other conservative media personality, host, or politician possibly could. And I can tell you, something's very wrong with the presidential election. It reminds me of a fixed football game. Now, he goes back here and gives an example that, honestly, I haven't paid any attention to, don't know squat about, but I'll at least mention it for those that do. The famous fix of the 1978 football game between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants quarterback handed the ball off, running back didn't want it, it fell on the ground, Herm Edwards of the Eagles picked it up, ran into the end zone with seconds left for a last-second victory. Every bettor in the world, he said, knew that game was fixed. Doesn't matter if you can prove it, we all know. And here's his point. Gamblers feel the same way about this presidential election. This one is rancid. It feels as fixed as that Giants-Eagles NFL football game. Let me give you the details from a gambler's perspective. Now, this is kind of fascinating, and again, if you look at things like correlations and who's right and who has a good track record, a lot of what he says here really makes sense, and it's another way of looking at the statistical distributions and probabilities, and come on, we can tell when it stinks, right? Gamblers feel the same way. Trump entered the night with a 2-1 underdog disadvantage. In other words, the betting was saying he's going to lose. They were believing the polls. Soon as the polls started to close, though, and the picture became clear, Trump's odds quickly moved first to even money. Then he became a slight favorite, then a moderate favorite, then 2-1 favorite, then 3-1, 4-1, then 5, 6, even 7-1. Trump got all the way up to being an 8-1 favorite. And that's when the big brother, deep state, leftist, and Chi-Coms decided time to pull the plug on this one. What does it all mean? Bettors were putting their money on the line during election night. They've always proven to be deadly accurate because smart bettors can see what direction the race is taking. Bettors around the world clearly saw what I saw when they stared at the electoral map. Trump was headed for an electoral landslide. Does anybody think the Democrats cheated? I need a laugh track here. Something, though, wasn't quite right. Fox News wouldn't call Florida for Trump, even though he was way ahead, ahead by a mile. They wouldn't call Ohio, even though Trump was ahead by a mile. They wouldn't call Texas, even though Trump was ahead by a mile. I sat there screaming at my television, says Root. And furthermore, more strange calls. Fox had called Virginia for Biden at the start of the night, even though Trump was ahead. He would remain in ahead in Virginia for 3 long hours, even after Fox awarded the electoral votes, as if they mattered, to Biden. Why would they do that? What was the rush? It made no sense. Well, folks, he's being a little bit kind here. Yeah, it did. The fix was in. Biden was awarded Virginia even with Trump ahead. But Trump was still ahead by a mile in Florida, Ohio, and Texas. They refused to let him be declared the winner there. At that moment, he said, I knew something was wrong. Something smelled fishy, rotten in the D.C. swamp. Bettors witnessed Trump dominating. He clearly not only won the key states of Florida, Ohio, and Texas, but also had large leads in the entire Midwest, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa. It was all but over. Trump had an electoral landslide, hence the massive 8-1 odds. And then it happened. It was the most bizarre call in election night history. Fox News declared that Trump didn't win Arizona, as he was expected to, especially at this point. It went to Biden. Why? Wasn't even close to over. There was no reason on earth to make that call. Well, haha, yeah, there was. It's just not the reason that you might think if you thought the election was honest. Arizona is still hot and not over 4 days later. CNN hasn't awarded it. ABC pulled back from it at the time the article was written, only 24 hours before he wrote the piece. Why would Fox be in such a rush to call Arizona for Biden? At that moment, he notes, on the betting index, Trump's odds crashed. Instantly, they were down from 8.1 to 2, 8-1, down to 2-1, which set off alarm bells. My friend, one of the biggest bookies in the country, called me to say, Wayne, something's wrong. I've never seen a drop like that, let alone a drop that fast. How can Trump go from 8-1 to 2-1? Somebody knows something. We got a problem. It was if it had been decided in advance by somebody to give Arizona to Biden, whether he won it or not. It was if the secret code was known only to a few billionaire gamblers. Six magic words. Fox News awards Arizona to Biden. Someone was ready for that call. Someone waited until Trump was a prohibitive 8-1 favorite and then bet millions of dollars on Biden, longest odds of the night. Someone knew the fix was in. Someone made a fortune. Now, I'm going to pause here. A gambler tends to think, oh, it's about the money. And, of course, a lot of us realize, oh, no, you know, as Tricky Dick Nixon pointed out years ago, with power I can make all the money I want. Ultimately, it is about power. And Communist China wanted their man in the White House. But back to the story here, because he's right. He says there's more to it. First, by awarding both Virginia and Arizona to Biden way too early in the evening and going super slow awarding states to Trump, even though he led by a mile, Fox News, anybody still watching that piece of trash? Fox News made sure Biden had the electoral lead all night long. That's a big part of the story, just like the fake pollsters that suppressed Trump voters for months in advance to falsely show that Trump was losing by a landslide. The fake news desk employees sure appear to be suppressing Trump votes on election night. Remember what they did with the laptop, folks. Remember how they literally hyped Russia, 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 the impeachment, but not anything that goes the other way. Oh, yeah, this is all part of a long, stinky pattern. If Biden led in every poll before the election, and he led all night in electoral votes, it wouldn't look quite so bad like the fix was in when Biden suddenly wound up the winner. Surprise, 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 the morning after. One more piece of the puzzle, says Wayne Allen Root. From almost the moment that the secret code, Fox News awards Arizona to Biden, was spoken, three key Midwest battleground states with Democrat governors all decided, we're tired. Let's pack it up for the night. Stop counting votes for the night with Trump way ahead. As a matter of fact, Georgia did too. The reason there was supposedly a water main break that turned out to be a lie, as was reported several days later. But isn't it amazing that there looked like there was collusion? It was while Trump was way ahead. Why? He asks all three, all at the same time, almost like they were coordinated in advance. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania all mysteriously quit counting around midnight local time. To add to the idea of a fix, these states merely claimed they were stopping counting, but they weren't. They were just putting the fix in. They were putting up the barriers so that the poll watchers, who were being kicked out anyway, couldn't look and see in so many places. They were bringing in the carts full of bogus ballots, avoiding security protocols. In other words, they ripped off the masks, and they were pulling out all the stops. After TV cameras and Republican poll watchers were all sent home, says Root, those Democrat states all resumed counting. And who could imagine that? Shazam! It's a miracle! Suddenly, they found all the ballots they need. Even if they all looked this, you know, almost like they'd been copied. Or statistically, they stunk to high heaven. All kinds of statistical outliers, folks, that say, come on, who are we kidding? Anyway, they found what they needed, and Shazam! The press, dutiful scumbags that they are, at least some of them, came right out and said, yeah, look at that. The guy we wanted to win all along, the guy we've been pushing, he did win. And there's a fix in? Oh, no, there's not. We're not going to even look at it. No, 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 you can't make me. It all started with Biden, or Arizona call for Biden. I actually took screenshots, says Root, before I went to bed. Trump was winning Michigan by over 300,000 votes when they stopped counting. He was up in Wisconsin by 100,000, in Pennsylvania by almost 700,000 votes. But overnight, suddenly, it was all different. Biden up by 9,000 in Wisconsin, 30,000 in Michigan. How'd that happen? Thought they'd stop counting. Yeah, it all began with that bogus call. Someone knew the fix was in. Somebody made millions betting on the election. They knew exactly when to jump in, the exact minute. They knew the Trump landslide would turn into a Biden victory with the help of fake TV network and fake ballots. They knew Arizona was going to be called way too early. They knew that would trigger vote counting to stop and the massive ballot fraud to begin. So what he's adding here is the signal, almost like as we've seen with terror acts and so forth. There's a secret code. Trump was robbed, he says. This election was stolen. Well, folks, I'm going to contend again, this is far worse than that. Because basically what we're seeing here is an attempt to destroy and undermine the entire system. And I'll contend as I point to one final piece here that'll kind of demonstrate where I want to go. I'll say it again. If you haven't come out yet, now's the time. Brandon Smith, who's been writing about this and essentially predicted, as has your host and many others, exactly how this was going to play out. I believed, as so many others did, that Trump was going to win a huge landslide of popular vote, state votes, and thus an electoral college landslide, but that it might or might not be enough to overcome the fix that was already in. They had tried to rig it in 2016. They thought they had. Hillary still thinks she should have won because the fix was in. And the fix was based on the e-votes. They didn't have mail-in voting then. And they literally spent the next 4 years first trying to have a coup by any means. And when that failed, oh, yeah, we're going to rig this sucker. We're going to have our plan B ready. And we're going to up the fix in the electronic voting, the Dominion voting systems and so forth. Now, what they do is they can basically electronically swap votes. They can use some pretty sophisticated coding. That's what floating point math is about, to know. And if you've heard Operation Hammer and Project Scorecard, somebody absconded with some CIA top secret programs, which are only supposed to be used against foreign countries, but turned out to be used against Americans, too. Imagine that. Of course, they're not supposed to do all kinds of things that they do against Americans. Why are we not surprised? And here we go. Says Brandon Smith, based on the fact that we've seen this coming, been talking about it, and we know now that it's here what it means, get ready for chaos regardless of who ends up in the White House. He talks about the predictive programming by the establishment. They've been telegraphing to us, telling us exactly what's going to happen. A contested election, civil war, martial law, economic collapse. Biden's already talking about, Octung, you vil, wear your masks, you stupid little slaves. If you believe I won, you'll probably believe everything else I'm going to tell you. And the U.S. is being destroyed from within. The rest of Brandon's thesis sounds something like this. Millions of Americans, and I'm going to say are intended, to lose faith in the process, and the election itself would be invalidated if the level of election fraud that we're already seeing play out is publicly admitted, and if they stonewall the level of fraud, or even admit some of it, but, oh, it's just not enough to swing the election away from Creepy Joe. No conservative will accept Biden as president, and the Trump administration would have a perfect rationale for refusing to concede the White House, which is precisely true. Because most Americans don't seem to understand the dynamic at play here. They think it's all about winning the election. He talks about electors and Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, the possibility of state legislatures overturning the fraud, which is certainly an interesting possibility. I have trouble believing most of the Republicans even remotely have the backbone for that. But either way, he suggests, and this is the bottom line, even if Trump stays in the Oval Office, the globalists still have much to gain, because the stage has now been set for a dangerous dynamic. Consider the riots that are still ready to be unleashed. And he focuses on the unrest events triggering a demand for law and order, and says there are two ways this can play out. A constitutional way, involving the Second Amendment, among other things, and the purpose of a well-regulated militia, and an unconstitutional way. The elites that are still in Trump's cabinet and haven't been purged yet will push for martial law, the unconstitutional way. And, of course, there's the Great Reset agenda that will continue. The worldwide economic meltdown, still in progress. And the option here allows conservatives to be used as scapegoats for the economic collapse that the deep state and its bankster elite created, and which is still on track. They can go back to blaming Trump for it. Says Brandon Smith, "I believe having Trump stay in office is still a better model for the globalists. So when the fraud is discovered, I would say admitted, refuse to support martial law." Now, I also have made no secret of the fact that there are reports about communist Chinese troops being massed in places like Vancouver. The left coast, especially communist California, is literally an invasion waiting to happen. I don't have any doubt that Trump knows all of that. If we look and see what's going on within the inner circle of the White House, the Defense Department, they finally got rid of Mark Esper. Good riddance. There's a whole lot more that need to go, too. But a whole lot of things are going on behind the scenes, folks. And let me suggest that as we look at this and try to say, okay, obviously we need to come out. Obviously we need to recognize that the system is rigged. I keep hearing people saying, oh, if it turns out that Trump was robbed and if it turns out that there was voter fraud. Come on. Who are we kidding? The voter fraud is literally in your face obvious. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. What they're doing is trying to convince people it doesn't matter what you know. We still have you in leg irons. We're still going to muzzle you. We're still going to destroy you. And ha-ha, there's nothing you can do about it. Well, there is. And it depends on who we serve and where we go. Now, Brandon Smith goes through some of the scenarios and ultimately says, hey, don't be fooled into accepting martial law. And with all the other things that are potentially likely to happen, a Chinese invasion that will or may not happen, depending upon whether or not they can get their man into the White House the other way. And it looks like they're still trying on that score. But here's what I'm going to suggest. I look for symbols, for ways to recognize how this is playing out. So far, so much that we've talked about has been right on schedule. We still have, for example, the economic collapse to come. And what's telling about this scenario is the systemic element, the fraud, the electronic vote rigging. If all of this disappears, and the only thing we hear about is, oh, a few thousand votes in Pennsylvania got changed, we'll change them back. A few thousand votes in Michigan got changed, we'll change them back. Look at that! Trump squeaks out a bare 270x electoral vote win. Whoo! Everything is wonderful. Go back to sleep, America. You know that nothing has really changed. And that's the bigger picture. Look for the systemic fraud, because unless people truly realize the depth, the level of evil at play here, I contend most Americans aren't going to wake up to the bigger picture, and that's the plan. Well, still, they'll be able to see just how much of the truth does come out over the next few weeks or month, and that'll give us some pretty good insight as to what comes next. But scripture and economics, too, have already laid out the bigger picture. The supply chain is broken. There will be further attempts to lock things down. There will be food issues. There will be riots. And those who know what's going on should be paying attention and will come out. If you haven't come out yet, time draws very short. How much more evidence do you need? And at this point, there should be more than enough even to convince family members who haven't been on board yet, unless they're just plain brain dead. It's past time to be ready for what's coming, because it's already here.